On the Big Breakfast Catch-Up with Claire Matt and Kimber, Lawrence Mooney, the Moon Man, is with us in the studio.
We just happened to bump into John Edward, but he knew we were coming.
And Dr. Michael Mosley gives us some healthy tips on life.
Save time with the Claire Matt and Kimber Catch-Up and save 35% on your natural gas charges when you switch to Clean Heat. T's and C's apply.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
Our good friend Lawrence Mooney is on the line, the Moon Man. G'day, mate. How are you?
Hello, Clancy. Hello to you, Kimber and Matt and everyone in Perth. It's just nice to chat to you guys. Often I'm slotted to speak to you, but the Prime Minister pushes in.
Yes, he does.
Pushes me off. And you guys just bump me because I want to speak number one man in the land.
Well,
but it's nice to...
You know what? You're right, though. We don't get many chances to talk to you. But are you still riding your bike to work? Are you still on the health kick?
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I occasionally ride a bike, but it's a motorbike. And in Melbourne currently, it is struggling to break through to 10 degrees. So, no, yeah. I got my license back, Kimber, and the bike just went,
great while it lasted.
You've forgotten me now. Yeah. So, no, occasionally I bike up, but I've got to wear long johns this time of year, so it's cold.
It is cold.
Yeah. peeled long johns. What else
sexy.
Are you wearing?
Like a tomato.
Hey, Loz. I love that saggy little ass bit.
At least you've got one. Mine was lost about 5 years ago. I don't know where it went.
Mate, you know what's saggy.
With the spare sock in the dryer. Hey, Loz, our Bombers are playing the West Coast this weekend.
I know we are going to get pants horrifically.
We are, aren't we?
Yeah, tomorrow night, yeah.
It is in Perth and we're making the long journey over. The Bombers haven't been doing too well. But as you probably already know, my wife Lulu is a Richmond supporter and last year was a very good year for me because shortly after the game, I've got a little window. She becomes quite amorous after the Tigers win. She goes full bogan, go Tiger! And the testosterone and the estrogen, the whole thing is working very well. And so I skulk off if they're in front in the last quarter. Put on my number 4 Richmond jumper,
yep.
Draw tattoos on my neck, put my little rug on my head and pretend to be Dusty Martin. And then shortly after the coach's interviews, bang, a bit of a amore. But I'm getting sick of the Tigers.
Get the long johns off and get in there.
Get those long johns off, you sexy beast.
Does she give you the don't argue?
Yeah, that's... More often than I care to think of. Hand on the face, though. It's like, get away.
Hey, Moon Man, we know that you're gracing a stage on a very regular basis, but what about the full stage dad treatment there?
Well, just to finish on the footy, I was recently, I was sick of the Tigers. Saturday afternoon, watching Richmond Geelong, I was quietly barracking for Geelong. I'm over them. And so there was a contentious free, and I thought it should have been 50 metres and just went, 50! And Lou just looked across at me and goes, who are you barracking for? And I went, no one. I just think that's bad for the game. Caught barracking for the wrong team. I've become the full stage dad because my daughter Lily is doing year 12 and there's a drama component in there. And so she's asked me to help her because, as you know, I'm classically trained. And I'm just frightened I'm going to be, I'm going to have a cigarette holder, the beret, and just be going, no, Lily. Oh, no, do it again. Life's tight and bright. Teeth, lips, tip of the tongue. Come on. And go full stage dad on her. But she has invited me in, so look out. Look out for this production near you.
Yeah, what are they doing? What's the production?
Well, it's not a production. It's a piece that she's got to actually perform in front of her, judges or teachers. And so she's playing a raven in the Tower of London. So
goodness.
Full
me.
Beak, head bobbing, the full... I might even get it to do the Graham Kennedy,
yeah.
Crow call.
If the performance doesn't go that well, is that when you say, I had nothing to do with this, I wasn't even at rehearsals?
She's a failure. I'm ashamed to even look at you. Don't touch me, I'll be sick. I'll be in my Peugeot. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And that's pretty much it from me.
Oh, well done, mate.
Well, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, no worries.
It's been
got nothing. See you in another 6 months.
And you wonder why you get bumped for the Prime Minister. I mean, honestly.
Good on you. Bye now.
Hey, thanks, buddy. The Moon Man, Lawrence Mooney. We'll be back in Perth before you know it.
Yeah.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
So we're in Melbourne this week, and the people you bump into when you head to Melbourne, the one and only superstar psychic medium, John Edward.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. Nice to see you here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Now, John, I read your book many, many years ago about how you discovered your ability. As time goes on, is it like a muscle you have to exercise? Do you have to use it or you'll lose it? Or do you think this is likely to be with you for life?
No, I think it's something that you do and should work at, like I do, and try to push the envelope to get better and stronger and, you know, kind of, I work out a lot when it comes like to doing this. Keeping myself in tune. I feel like I'm an instrument, so like a piano, you need to keep it in tune to be able to play it. That's my job.
Yeah, right.
And John, of course, you know, some people either don't believe and some people do believe in these things, and that's fine. They're entitled to that. And I was telling you outside that I grew up with a Blackpool, Northern English, Lancashire side of the family, very much into going to spiritual churches. And I've seen the kind of comfort and joy that people get when someone walks in and there's like, oh, I can see Harold Darling, he's lovely, he's so happy to see you. And you know, that's one of the joys of what you do, isn't it? Seeing people happy.
It is. I kind of take it to a place of more energy.
Sure.
And if I can explain energy and validate energy and show that there's a survival of consciousness in more of a kind of less emotional surgical approach, that can provide that same level of happy. Because I think there's a fine line between giving people emotion and giving people information.
Yes.
So I try to make sure that information is what I give. Mm. And then to the point where I say sometimes, like, I don't really care how people feel about it. Just pay attention to it and validate it as best as you can. Because I feel like those who are supposed to get the message are going to come through and give the message. So I want that to be heard.
Yeah, yes. A bit of a surprise visit today. We just sort of bumped into John Edward and our producer.
Was it really,
Tom,
though?
We've
been planning for 7 months.
We were going to be talking about sex at 3 p.m. That's what's written on this sheet. So, we didn't know.
I got bumped for you, John.
You may have known, but we didn't know.
John Edward mate, I've got a 17-year-old daughter, and so many times over the years I wish I'd been a psychic medium. What is your 11-year-old daughter Olivia doing right now?
My 11-year-old daughter is an actress. She's on a TV show called Better Things. They're getting ready to tape their third season.
Brilliant.
She's doing really, really, really well.
Yeah. Bit of an edgy show, I hear.
It is a little bit of an edgy show. There's some moments in it where I, you know, can I tell you? Like, can I say? Or no?
Yeah.
Can we? What's the time? What's the time in Perth? Yes.
Well, the boss is in the room with us.
5 to 7.
We've got the thumbs up.
Giving us the thumbs up.
Which is appropriate.
I'll try to be as PC as I can.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
But
I don't really read the scripts. My wife reads the scripts. And my wife said to me, she was like, I think you really want to read episode 1. And
right.
I was like, no, I want to be surprised. I don't want to get taken out of the show. I want to see her in character.
Sure.
And in the first episode, she plays Truth or Dare with some of the friends, and it's the opening scene, and she dares one of her friends to place a Monopoly piece in an anatomically inappropriate way.
Oh,
how'd I do? Well delivered.
You got the gig.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Wow.
Where do you go from there?
I'm blushing as I say it.
I've already passed go. I need $200.
Yeah.
I think it was the top hat.
Now, John, I'd love to ask you, what's the spook etiquette? Like, do you offer people information when you feel it, or do you wait to be asked?
I think you really have to wait to be asked. And I think it's really, really important that I love the question. It's never appropriate to enter someone's vibration without their permission.
Right.
Like, you just don't. It's just not appropriate. And I know that it's like reality shows around the world show attack readings happening. And it's like, oh, I'm so psychic, I just can't stop myself.
Yes.
And I kind of feel like that's like saying, like, I have to, you know, pee, and I'm just going to pee wherever I want.
Right.
it's not, there's a time and place.
Great analogy.
But it's not appropriate. You know, and I say, like, if I was a cosmetic surgeon, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to walk into a supermarket, look at somebody, assess them, and say, let me make you look better, in my opinion, if I do surgery.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's unethical. And you don't know where somebody is on their journey of grief.
Mm. Yeah.
So for me, it's not appropriate. So I don't ever put myself in that position.
Mm. Mm.
And do you think we have an unhealthy relationship with the other side in Western culture? Are there cultures that do it better than we do, or do we do it fine?
I think that we can do it better, to be honest. I think it's really cool when you look at places like I've traveled and worked in Africa where honoring your ancestors and the legacy of who you are and where you come from is just intrinsic.
Yes.
And it's respectful and it's a journey. But I think most people have such a fear of death. We put so much time and energy into keeping death away that we don't talk about death. Yep. We don't prepare people for death. We don't talk to them when it comes from my background's in healthcare. So I'm like also the person who's like, make sure you have a living will or healthcare proxy and tell your family what you would want in case of those moments, because those moments may come. And people say, well, that's very, very morbid. I go, no, that's very, very real. We're going to face situations. How do I know? Because for 34 years, I sit opposite people who didn't prepare for that, and they're surprised and shocked. So if you always communicate and appreciate and validate people and let them know how you're feeling and what your desires are and what you want, then you just have to grieve the loss of the person, but you know that there's something else, hopefully.
Yeah, John, and at this point in time, mate, I mean, it would be remiss of us. People are thinking, do you feel a vibe, even though you're waiting, you may wait for an invitation to talk about something, you feel a vibe about anyone in this room in particular?
I don't, but I would tell you, because you guys feel very open, so I would tell you, it happened at a previous station, so I'm not shy.
So disappointed. I wanted to be vibing. I really did.
Mate, you're catching a plane today. Don't talk to John any longer.
Right. You are vibing. That was my license plate number for a while.
Hey, John Edward, coming to Perth, of course. Great. November 4th, Riverside Theatre at the PCEC. Tickets through Ticket Tech. Great to catch up. And thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Nice to you.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Journalist, producer, presenter, of course, author and so much more, and the author of The Clever Gut Diet, Dr. Michael Mosley joins us this morning. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning to you. Hi there.
Oh, it's so great to have you here. We're all big fans and we've all seen different docos of yours and read different books. But there are so many diets out there. I mean, you know, your paleo and keto and Atkins and all of this. The list goes on. Is it more about people finding the right diet and eating habits for them? Or do we just really need to strip it all back?
I think there's something like 50,000 diets out there and most of them are absolute rubbish because they're not based on anything. What I'd say is that my diets are really based on the best science there is. And my current book, The Clever Guts Diet, is endorsed by a couple of Nobel Prize winners and some professors of medicine. So I think there's a decent chance, A, it's decent science, but B, it will actually work for you.
Yes, but did anyone from MasterChef give it the thumbs up?
I don't know. Obviously, that's the ultimate endorsement, so I shall have to wait and see.
Michael, it's a really fascinating book. I loved reading about the incredible ecosystem that exists within our guts. Obviously, you know, it's a difficult life for many people. It's fast and furious. There are many of our listeners now who are about to drop their kids off at school and maybe go and do the week's shopping. What are two or three things that people can do right now and to buy to help improve their gut health?
Sure. I mean, a lot of people, particularly in their sort of 20s and 30s, develop some form of irritable bowel syndrome because they're on this, as you say, high-stress lifestyle. And as people get older, the richness and diversity of their microbiome, those are the microbes that live in your gut, decreases. And so these are things to be aware of. I mean, the one thing you want to do is obviously increase the amount of fiber you're eating. Now, this book has lots of recipes in it, and the recipes are based on what's called a Mediterranean diet. Now, we know that fruit and veggies are good for us, but there are also legumes, which people tend to ignore. These are things like lentils, kidney beans, and stuff like that. And my wife, who's a GP, she's done many of the recipes here, and she has recipes for things like kidney bean cake, chocolate kidney bean cake. And you'd have thought that's going to be really, really horrible. Mm. My kids turned up their nose, but actually they love it. Yeah. It's a way of getting in these really healthy foods in a disguised fashion. Yes. So the problem with vegetables is that they're often really boringly cooked. People have no idea what to do with them. They just kind of boil them to death. So that's the key. The key is to make it tasty, interesting, varied. The other thing I would say is that what you want to do, as well as increasing the fiber, you probably want to cut back on some of the sort of sweet treats, because we know that lots of sugar is bad for the biome. It's bad for the gut. It's bad for your waistline. The average Australian kid consumes, if five-year-olds consume their own weight in sugar every year. So we have a long way to go on that one.
Yeah, Doctor, you know, obesity is a big issue, especially with our children. I know you're facing a parliamentary committee. I believe that's this morning.
It is, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it is. It is such a massive issue, for want of a better word. What about, is the sugar the key to that problem, do you think, or is it general across-the-board foods?
I think it's kind of across the board. The interesting thing, for example, I've just done a show on SBS looking at the science of food. And one of the things we know, it's the combination. There is an ideal ratio of fat to sugar, which is roughly 2 to 1. And you find it across all these foods that we absolutely cannot resist. So, for example, I'm not going to stick my face in and eat a bowl of sugar, nor am I going to drink a pint of cream. But you put them together, freeze it, add some vanilla, and you've got ice cream, and you can really wolf that stuff down. There's actually, as I said, if you think to yourself, as perhaps you're reaching for that thing, if you're thinking, actually, this is a highly manufactured food, it's been created specifically to make me eat this junk. It's going to go down into my gut. It's going to feed the bad bacteria down there, who in turn are going to be sending signals to my brain saying, eat more of this stuff. Yeah. You are being endlessly manipulated, both by the manufacturers, but also, ironically enough, by these microbes that live in your gut. And that's kind of the message of the film. The message of the book is that if you can alter your gut biome and it changes very rapidly in response to food, you can get rid of some of these sort of insane cravings which we all tend to have.
Well, this may not be an easy answer, but as you say, if it is rapid, if I were to go on a sugar-free diet or really start making those changes, how quickly will my body respond and start to see changes that are really going to be excellent health benefits for me?
Sure. What I would do, as I said, there are lots of recipes in there because it's about the balance. If you just take one ingredient out, it's unlikely to work because particularly if you just go, I'm never going to eat sugar again, then all you're going to be thinking is, I want that sugar! I want that chocolate! And you're going to go crazy. So you have to actually move. You shift into it. But the changes take place within days. We know, and you know, you can actually have your poo analysed now. And my freezer is full of the stuff. I've told the kids. They know what to avoid in my house. So you can see changes which occur unbelievably rapidly in the biome. And when that happens, as I said, the cravings pass. But it's actually... it's much more complicated. Well, it's not much more complicated. It's a bit more complicated than simply cutting the sugar out because you have to add other things in. Yes. So the key to success in a diet is not just ripping stuff out because then you're just going to feel deprived. It's the extra stuff you add in which actually makes this thing sustainable and enjoyable.
Michael, one of the great little life hacks, I hope I've got it right, that people could try is we all love our pasta, of course. But if you cook pasta... cool it down and then reheat it, something happens on a chemical level that reduces the sugar. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's called producing resistant starch. And it happens with all forms of starchy things. So not just pasta, but also rice and bread. Now, when you cook it and you cool it, normally what happens is the starch is rapidly broken down in your gut to release sugar into your system. And that sends your blood sugar soaring up and then you get really hungry and then comes crashing down, which is why these, you know, very starchy things tend to make you hungry. What happens when you cook it and you cool it and you reheat it? When you cool it, basically it becomes more like resistant starch, more like fiber. And when you reheat it, oddly enough, we demonstrated on a show I did, Trust Me, I'm a Doctor, it becomes even more resistant. So we know from studies done now with pasta and rice that if you cook it, cool it and reheat it, you absorb half the calories, the others get pooed out. But also you're feeding more of the good bacteria because effectively it's more like fiber. So this is a really clever little trick. And I do it with bread. We don't eat a lot of bread in my house, but we keep it in the freezer. And so that, again, is a process. You put it in the freezer and then in the toaster. And by doing that, you alter the nature. It tastes exactly the same. But actually what's happened is become more like fiber. So, again, it's a nice little trick for increasing... And the book has basically got lots of stuff like that in it.
Oh,
it tells you about the kind of science of it, but also shows you some pretty simple things you can do.
Dr. Michael Mosley, just in closing here, we live in a coffee-obsessed society and it's just after quarter past eight. A lot of people would have had 3 or 4 already. Any evidence to say that's doing our gut a lot of damage?
No, actually probably pretty good. So I drink 3 or 4 cups. Obviously, I like the science, which tells me that, which it does, that drinking red wine is pretty good for your gut and, you know, a glass or two, not a bottle or two. dark chocolate as well, but coffee, absolutely, because coffee is packed with these things called flavonoids. So coffee obviously comes from a plant. You get it in a really enriched form. All the science suggests that 2 or 3 cups a day is beneficial. Up to 10 or more is not so great, but 2 or 3 is absolutely fine. Just don't pack it with sugar. Don't add sugar.
nor a nip of scotch.
Yeah, true.
Certainly not for breakfast.
Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Michael Mosley. We'd love to hang, maybe you hang around for about 4 days, but we're out of time. It's wonderful to chat and all the best.
Thanks.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
You know, if I was a lawyer, I'd want to defend a penguin in court just so I could say, Your Honour, my client clearly is not a flight risk.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.
Switch to Clean Heat for homegrown service. It's easy. Clean Heat. Switch, save, smile.